You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, the votes are in, but they are still being counted in one of the tightest political races in BC history. As it stands now, the NDP walked away with 46 seats and the Conservatives with 45, as well as the Greens holding on to 2 seats in the legislature. No one has enough to form a majority, but that could change in the coming days. Several ridings required a recount as the margin of victory was less than 100 votes, meaning all mail-in and out-of-district ballots are being counted right now. However, we won't know the full results until October 26th. What we do know for sure is who won in Northwest BC. The NDP's Tamara Davidson held the riding of North Coast Haida Gwaii, the only Northern BC riding to remain in the hands of the NDP. After 2 previous attempts in federal politics, the Conservatives' Claire Ratté in Kitimat was finally successful in the Skeena riding. And in Bulkley Valley Stikine, former mayor of Telkwa, Sharon Hartwell, unseated longtime NDP MLA and MP Nathan Cullen, who was also a cabinet minister in the previous provincial government, to claim that seat for the Conservatives. It's still unclear who will govern BC in the coming years, but for now we check in with Sharon Hartwell in the Bulkley Valley and Tamara Davidson in Prince Rupert about what their priorities will be once they reach Victoria. I spoke with Davidson at the Crest Hotel in Prince Rupert following the results on election night. Stay with us.
Tamara Davidson, the newly elected MLA for North Coast Haida Gwaii, and we're here in Prince Rupert.
Great, Tamara. Yes, I assume you're the MLA-elect right now, as we're still seeing results come in. It's not exactly clear where how the dust is going to settle in terms of the distribution of seats per party, but it looks like it's still a pretty tight race, but the NDP picking up a number of seats. You've picked up your seat. Tell me a little bit about how it feels to be a first-time MLA, a successful MLA.
I would say that it's really humbling and it's really overwhelming to be the first Indigenous MLA for this North Coast Haida Gwaii riding, and to be able to represent my own community of Haida Gwaii is a big responsibility, but it's also extremely fulfilling, and we really ran a campaign on trying to inspire people, and I'm so proud of everyone in the riding coming together and sharing and supporting each other. I mean, that's what we do in the North, is we support each other through our challenges, through our issues, and I'm really looking forward to really working with a lot of people here.
It's safe to say that the politics these days, federally, provincially, even municipality, is very divisive. We heard a lot of divisive language, discussion, attacks back and forth during this campaign from both sides. What do you think set you apart from your competitor Chris Sankey running for the Conservatives? It was a pretty clear decision, one way or the other here, no ambiguity. So what do you think set it apart that allowed you to be successful?
I think for me, it was really just using the tools that I have and the experience that I have and really the networks that I have, and also though bringing my Haida values into this role and now into this new job will be trying to uplift people instead of tearing them down and looking for the things that tear us apart. Like, what are the common ground that we have? And I know that when I was meeting with other cultural groups in Prince Rupert or Bella Coola or Bella Bella, that was the message I tried to bring home. We have maybe cultural differences, but there's some common ground issues that we really have to come together on, like healthcare, like housing, like education. So we might have some cultural differences, but we do have some commonalities that we have to really come together and work out together. Yeah.
I know you've been a public service employee for a long time. So going into this kind of fashion into the legislature's going to be no news to you. Going into the, as the MLA will be new, but there are still lots of challenges. What are some of the things that are top of your list? You know, we even see this evening the emergency room here in Prince Rupert is closed right now, or past 10 o'clock until the morning. What are some of your top priorities going to be once you get to Victoria?
I think that the number one thing is going to be the healthcare. So having the emergency rooms closed, you know, having doctors and nurses being recruited and retained here in Prince Rupert, also in Haida Gwaii and in Bella Coola, is going to be really important. And I think that'll have to be my number one priority, is just trying to find out how we can work together with the health authority, with different organizations, with the unions, and really find out, like, what are the initiatives that we can put in place locally here and regionally that are really going to have a major impact, a positive impact in the healthcare. I would also say housing. That's also part of it. It's all related to everything else. That's what we say on Haida Gwaii. Everything's related to everything else. So if we want to attract new teachers, new doctors, new nurses, we have to ensure that we have housing here for them. And then also education, putting and investing the $126 million into the new middle school here, I think is going to help to attract a lot of families here. If we have state-of-the-art technology in the school, I think it's going to really help to bring families that want to move here.
One thing is clear this evening, the legislature going forward is going to look completely different than the last time around. It was a majority in favor of the NDP last time around. A lot of legislation got pushed through, but now it clearly it's going to have to be a little bit more of discussions going on, some debating and working together with the other parties, the Conservatives as well as the Green Party. How do you see that playing out, knowing that there have been such deep divisions?
I think that it'll be really, it'll be a good opportunity for us to really focus on the issues. And that's what I tried to do during the campaign, is really focus on the issues. Where do we have commonality? Where do we have areas that we can come together on and agree on? And I think that's what's going to have to happen in the legislature. And I would say, too, even with the majority for the last time, seeing the Haida legislation go through, seeing that process, being a part of that process, really showed me how much we do need to work together across partisan lines.
It looks like it's going to be a bit of a lonely existence in the legislature for the Northwest BC caucus. Both your colleagues, NDP colleagues in the East and the Skeena and the Bulkley Valley Stikeen, will not be holding on or being elected this evening. How do you see this panning out and working with your other Conservative colleagues to the East in the Skeena and Bulkley Valley Stikeen, knowing that you're going to have to work together on not just riding issues, but regional issues?
Well, I think that we're going to have a strong voice across the North. We're going to have to really make sure that we are working together. And I think there are other rural communities within British Columbia that we do work with, like the Kootenays, for example. So I think that here in the North, we're going to have to find a way that we can come to some common ground. And I think that I can bring that strong voice for North Coast Haida Gwaii and really sit down with them and try to work out what can we work on together. And just really making sure that they understand that we're here and we're not going to back down and that we're really here to work together.
Okay, Tamara, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That was MLA-elect for North Coast Haida Gwaii, Tamara Davidson. Coming up next, MLA-elect for Bulkley Valley Stikeen, Sharon Hartwell.
Hi, good morning. I'm Sharon Hartwell, and right now I'm in the village of Telqua because that is where I live. So I'm here with Dan, and we're going to have an interview about the campaign.
Sharon Hartwell, the new MLA-elect for Bulkley Valley Stikeen. Thank you so much for being with us here on CACK News. You have unseated the long-term MLA and MP for the riding, Nathan Cullen. He is also a cabinet minister in the former NDP government. Sharon, how does it feel to finally get elected in Bulkley Valley Stikeen?
Well, it feels really good. Lots of conversations at the door about people wanting change. So I was happy to step up and help provide the face for that change. But ultimately, it was the people of Bulkley Valley Stikeen that initiated the change. So they were looking for something different. And here we are. We're here to do that.
No doubt. Sharon, I know that you're no stranger to politics. You sat as the mayor for Telkwa for quite a while and on council as well. You've also run before in provincial elections. How was this different than the last time that you ran?
Well, I think we had a lot more this time for me anyway. The large part for following John was leadership. I did actually run as a BC Liberal, and what I'm finding different about this is the fact that John is allowing us to be able to speak freely on behalf of our ridings, and that kind of appeals to me like it did on council, because you're there to support the people in your community and have that strong voice. So being able to put that forward into a political structure for our area, I think is empowering, and I think it's much needed. We have a lot more, in this election for me anyway, we had a lot more party support and help, and we had such a terrific team that came behind us and just went flat out for the last 6 months, just flat out every single day. They gave up time from their families, from their businesses, and they were vested in this because that's what the people were asking for. So I couldn't be more proud of the team that we put together. We started from the grassroots. We had zero money, and we started two or three of us, and that was the bottom line. Our campaign manager and our teams that came together were just absolutely stellar. Regular people in the community that just wanted to see change.
Yeah, no doubt. Sharon, a couple of things that you mentioned throughout your campaign. You talked about change needed for the cost of living, healthcare, education for families. We've seen this riding, and generally speaking, right across Northwest as an NDP stronghold for quite a long time. Your competitor, the incumbent, former incumbent, Nathan Cullen, had been in that position, federal and provincial politics, for about 20 years. What do you think has changed now? We've seen this you know, orange kind of a stronghold in this region for quite some time, but now we've finally seen this shift. What do you think happened? Why do you think voters wanted to support you and John Rusted and the Conservatives' vision rather than the incumbent NDP?
Well, I guess what we're hearing is that the fact that the North is being left out of a lot of things, you know, our resource development's down, people are hurting, businesses are closing. When I spoke with teachers, education was an issue because classroom sizes are too large. Their early childhood education is suffering. They don't have enough people to do that. I mean, it's just across the board. And economically, people are strapped for cash. They don't have anything more to give. So being a lot more fiscally responsible, and, you know, I'm a grassroots girl. I was born and raised here. This is my home. And listening to these things and trying to put a face to it like I did when I was the mayor was empowering for me, and that's what I'd like to do going forward. There's no easy fix for any of it. I'm not under any illusion that there is, but I'm certainly up to the task of trying to do the best we can and listen to the people on the ground so that we can make those economic choices and get things back to the way they were the best way we can for everybody, you know, for everybody. The First Nations communities were hurting as well. I mean, it's across the board. It isn't just one or the other. And I honestly don't believe it's orange or blue. I believe it's about the people. They're asking for change, and they're saying this is what they need. So, I mean, early on, I said that. They said, you know, how are you going to beat Nathan Cullen? I said, I'm not going to beat Nathan Cullen. This isn't about him or about me. This is about the people asking for what they want to see in their communities. So this is the result that we've got.
Yeah, yeah. Sharon, one thing that, you know, we heard about throughout the campaign, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of the issues of cost of living, inflation, taxes, obviously issues also with early childhood education, as you mentioned, but also daycare. You know, all of these issues have been perennial for some time. One thing that we didn't hear much about was this issue of wildfires. You know, issues around climate change were pretty light throughout the entire campaign on both sides of the spectrum. We experienced the worst wildfire season last summer in 2023. This summer was slightly better, but we still saw lots of fires around the region, in the north especially. What is your plan to take a look at that, knowing that that is a reality that is going to continue to hit rural and northern communities that have been hit hard already by these wildfires in the past?
Well, Dan, I think part of the answer to that is looking at what happened in Jasper. people have mentioned over and over again. And I remember these conversations we had when I was still the mayor, and we were sitting on the regional district and we were concerned about Tweedsmuir Park because they weren't allowed to go in and actually log the dry deadwood and clean up the forest floor, so that would sort of mitigate some of the opportunities for lightning strikes. Early on, one of John's things to because of forestry practices, talk about that kind of thing, and maybe looking at the old growth, which is dying. And I was speaking with Andy at Seton Timber, and he said a lot of that stuff that was coming out of there was sent to that mill, the dry stuff, and he wants to have, like, John's looking at value added for the whole log and not just leaving any of it in the bushes, debris on the floor. But now they've shut down so many mills, things are going to have to be revisited right across the board. So I'm not sure what the easy answer is, but I'm certainly willing to have discussions to find out what that's going to be. But certainly having value added and cleaning up some of the stuff, rather than just burning it in the bush and leaving it there, there's got to be some economic value to all that timber and the debris that's just being wasted at the present time.
Indeed. Sharon, just the last thing for you. You know, the full results are still being counted. Obviously, this is a bit of a tricky situation. We see virtually, you know, a split tie between the Conservatives and the NDP, 46 and 45 seats respectively, with 2 to the Greens so far. That could change in the coming days as there are a number of recounts going on because the race was so tight. You know, what kind of message has British Columbians sent to the politicians right across the province, and what will be your priorities when you head to Victoria in hopefully a few weeks?
Well, I guess for me, it's very clear that the North has been left out of the equation for a long time, and I felt that when I was the mayor. The Lower Mainland seems to be a seat of power for different issues than we have in the North. So I guess for me, the message going forward is, you know, we need to work together. We need to find out what's the best solutions for all the people in the province and not just one side or the other. You know, if we continue to fight, nobody wins. The people aren't going to win. We can't afford to keep taxing and spending. There isn't any, people don't have any more money to give for taxation. So I'm looking forward to going ahead, regardless of the outcome, and working hand in hand with the government of the day, or should it be us, and doing what's best for British Columbians.
All right, Sharon Hartwell, Bulkley Valley MLA elect. Thank you so much for giving us your time today, and good luck as you move into your new role down in Victoria.
Thank you, Dan.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.
About CICK, visit us at smithersradio.com. Yeah, .com.